Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of In the Bedroom with Cassie Jeans, Words That Awaken the Soul. And I am super excited to be getting to welcome a very special person in my life who has encouraged me, inspired me, motivated me, kicked my ass out in the gym. And I guys, you guys know I mentioned him actually last week on the podcast. I'm very, very excited to be welcoming Bud Tinney to our show today. Hey, Bud, how's it going?
Things are going well, Cassie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. So we've been working on bringing this interview together for a few months, and that's okay because it was the summer, and honestly, there is like no better thing to do than the summer than to completely enjoy it. And I actually did not podcast over the summer holidays, so that was really great. So I'm so excited that you're here today, and we're going to have a really awesome conversation. So for anybody who follows me on Instagram, you'll have seen actually Bud in my IG stories. I tend to like try to grab him after class if feeling super inspired or just wanting to have a little bit of fun so people can see just like the environment and the energy that is actually brought to CrossFit Coburg. One of the reasons why I wanted to have Bud on the podcast today was because when I first met him, I noticed that we had a similar language for how we like to describe living our life or the belief systems that we had, but we just use different words to describe them. And that fascinated me and I got really curious. Before we dive into that, I really want Bud to kind of let us know what he's been up to over the past year, couple years, the things he's really proud of that he's accomplished, and then just who he is as a person. So Bud, let us know a little bit more about you.
Absolutely. And the first thing that I just want to clarify on is that Cassie never actually asked me to be in the Instagram videos. I actually tried to jump in while she was recording. And then it just turned into a thing where once a week or so, I would try to get in on the videos because I thought it was pretty fun.
Absolutely. It is fun.
And that has developed into a podcast for the first one. So maybe we'll do the same thing and maybe we'll do a podcast here and there as well.
Sounds good. Here we go. So tell us about you, Bud.
All right. Here it is. So the last, I guess, 6 years or so, I've been a personal trainer or a CrossFit coach. My business partner, Scott Carrera, and I have been running CrossFit Coburg probably about 6 years at this point. And what we do is we run group classes from the early morning all the way until later in the evening. Our last class is at 7 p.m. And we have anywhere from maybe 6 people to as many as 15 people in a class. We have young boys and girls, we have moms and dads, we have grandmas and grandpas, and we have athletes, we have anything in between that you can imagine. And ultimately, what we've tried to create is a family / community environment where people can come in and they can challenge themselves in a safe environment. And ultimately, when they leave that 1 hour class, they're feeling better from the time that they actually walk through the doors. So that has been what we've created and what we're continuing to try and grow is just a safe place for people to come in and challenge themselves and see what their body can do.
You've absolutely done that too. I'm going to touch on that in a little bit, just about that safe place. But I'd love to know, and I know our viewers would love to know. So, I mean, Bud has accomplished some pretty awesome things in his life. And what's really neat about what you've done is you can see it, like it's an external accomplishment when it comes to body. And you've done some incredible competitions. I'd love for the viewers to get a chance to, you know, hear more about that part of your life too.
Sure. Yeah. So touching on the weightlifting, is that what you're suggesting, Cassie?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. So probably about 5 years ago, I got into weightlifting. And weightlifting, if you're familiar with CrossFit, weightlifting is a part of CrossFit. So to really put CrossFit in the simple words, it's a combination of cardio. So things like running, rowing, skipping, and body weight movements. So maybe doing things like squats, push-ups, and pull-ups. And then there's also the weightlifting component. So doing movements like deadlifts or overhead presses or snatches. I know Cassie, that's her favorite movement is the snatch. And so weightlifting was the one piece of CrossFit that I really, really became fond of. And I found that it was very empowering to to lift an amount of weight that I thought was not possible, and then soon realized that it was possible. And that was a really empowering feeling. And that was something that I probably craved. I would probably describe it as that on a daily basis. And I found that by developing confidence in weightlifting, I actually began developing confidence in other parts of my life, because I developed this mindset: if you could achieve the impossible inside of the gym, then you could also achieve the impossible outside of the gym, representing life. And that was probably the bigger picture, the most important thing of why I fell in love with weightlifting. And I realized that I could also share that with members that I was working with, if they could develop confidence in themselves inside the gym and achieve things that they thought was not possible, then they would also be able to repeat that behavior outside of the gym. Maybe it was passing a test, or maybe it was communicating their thoughts, or maybe it was just showing up to an event or a meeting, or going out with a group of people and having inner self-confidence in themselves. I'm just making up different things that I think people would potentially maybe lack confidence with. But if you're, when you're listening in, if you think, oh, what is that something for me that I would personally maybe be a little bit nervous or maybe lack confidence, it really doesn't matter what it is. But I found that weightlifting was a great tool to develop that confidence and transfer into whatever it was that you were looking to achieve.
That's amazing. So one of the things I wanted to pick up from that was that by weightlifting, you learned to train your mind to believe that what you once thought was impossible can actually become possible. And you did that through a series of showing up, practicing, lifting, showing up, practicing, lifting, over repetitively, continuously, competitively even. But one of the things that always intrigued me whenever I talked to you about competitions or whenever you were prepping for something kind of big was like, I would say like, oh, like I figure he'd want to win. And you would almost like be like, oh, like, no, it's not really that I want to win. So what is it for you that, like, why, like one of the questions, this is like devil's advocate, why show up if you're not planning to like win? Like, what is it? What is, there's something obviously deeper than for you about what it means to show up for yourself, to do the best that you can. Like, these sound like kind of like cliche phrases, but I just feel like there's something more for you about it that really connects you to what you're creating when you are like setting yourself up to do the next competition or even to do even the next lift in the gym. It seems like you bring a certain mindset to both scenarios.
Yeah, I can definitely try to clarify on what that means to me. And just to be clear, when I do go to weightlifting meets, I do go to win, in the sense that I do want to get first place. I do want to get a gold medal. But that gold medal or that first place is not what actually gives me happiness. The part that I showed up and I knew that I did everything in my ability and I experienced multiple moments through a period of time, maybe it's 6 weeks, maybe it's a year, maybe it's 5 years, the length of preparation for different things can vary depending on whatever the task is at hand. But knowing that I had showed up and I had gone through those challenges and those moments of discomfort, and being able to look back at that and having pride in the work and dedication and everything that I had invested all of my energy and my focus, that was the true win. And that was probably something that I learned from my weightlifting coach, Keith, who I would definitely describe as a big mentor for me in teaching me that when you show up to a weightlifting meet, or you show up to life, you show up to whatever it is that you're showing up to, when you know that you've done everything in your ability, that is winning. That was the true definition of winning. And that's what I really took away from Keith. And then by having that mindset, we can eliminate any anxiety of our performance at whatever it is that we're doing. It really doesn't matter how it goes. The outcome doesn't actually matter. It's the ability to, I call this the mirror test. Can you look yourself in the mirror? And I actually read a book on this, and they touch base on a mirror test. This isn't something that I've named. This is something that someone else has named. And
now I
just refer to it when I'm talking to people about certain things. But can you look at yourself in the mirror and honestly say to yourself, I did everything in my ability? And there's definitely been times in my life where I know that I didn't do everything in my ability. And I also reflect the fact that that feeling wasn't as happy as what it would be if I were to look in the mirror and say, I absolutely did everything that I could. And that would give a very fulfilling feeling. And I have had events and competitions where I can honestly say, I did not give it everything that I had. And maybe I ended up winning. It really wasn't fulfilling, where maybe I got third place and I gave it everything and I definitely grew as an individual. So the place on the podium or the gold medal, that is definitely not a good reflection of what that true happiness and that fulfillment is that we're on the pursuit of achieving.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that gives people so much freedom. Like when I think about some of the people that I know who are going to be listening to this podcast, and then I think about some people who I don't know, a lot of people who listen, tune in right now are entrepreneurs, they're in business, or they're writers, they're aspiring inspirational speakers, or they're moms and they're just literally trying to get to the day to day, or occasionally dads. I have a few like dad listeners and stuff like that. And I'm just thinking about them, like hearing these words and the freedom that it provides for them to be able to recognize that it was never about the end. It was about what you could do in the in-between moments when you actually got to that place. And it's really back to that phrase of like, it's the journey. It's like that part of like living so that you can actually have the experience. And what I love that you touched on, it's like this incredible, like, is there like a sound in the background?
Oh, I just stepped, I walked into the kitchen, but I came right back. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I just didn't know if it was like outside or inside. That's okay.
No, it should go away. Sometimes these interviews make me hungry, so I had to go grab a snack.
That's amazing. Oh, okay. So everyone, Bud's hungry, so he's just gonna have a snack. So it's incredible to like hear this, because where I came to be able to understand this mindset of like really enjoying the experience, the journey of not getting too far ahead of yourself and putting yourself into this place of anxiety and stress, is really appreciating the moment by moment experiences. I think it's so interesting, because I journeyed through that, through like health at first, and then dived right into like the mind, right into what it meant to be able to train your mind to think in ways that like that don't make things so difficult. I find our mind, like, and we actually just went through this when it came to what was I doing in the gym on Monday or Sunday with the snatch?
Like, the snatch, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I find it so interesting how our mind really has the power to be able to like trip us up before we even get to the destination we're trying to get to, like before we're even there. So it's incredible to watch how these same principles, these same beliefs, these same tools, these same ideas can be applied to every single area of our life, whether you're wanting to be a world-renowned weightlifter, or whether you're wanting to just be a person who is able to navigate their life so that their emotions are not overcoming or taking over the way in which that they would want to live. I know, like, for me, like, when I start to relay it back to, like, that journey processes, my emotions were, like, years ago, were out of control. They were like over the top. They just, and it wasn't because I was being like, what were the word? Because sometimes we get caught up in like, well, don't hold your emotions back. Like, don't hold back. Like, don't. But what was happening is they were like spilling all over the place, and they actually weren't reflecting like life the way that I was really wanting them to reflect. So right. I'm like just relating that back to you when you're like coaching, when you're out there helping somebody navigate something that's really hard physically, those same philosophies are applying to that exact situation right there. And it's amazing to watch the almost immediate transformation that happens when one of your like clients like trusts you and it's just like, yeah, okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm just gonna like put this thought over here for a minute and just like, because you're telling me like that I can do this. And there is this incredible amount of trust and connection that happens when somebody who has taken the steps before you looks at you and is like, you can do this. Because I don't know what happens in our life where we start to derail ourselves from being able to think that like we can do certain things. I don't know when this starts happening, but pretty well every single person on the planet faces that situation where they have to take their power back. They have to take their ability to be able to recognize like when they actually can overcome something that's really difficult at the time. So I think it's incredible when like, I've seen it in the gym. I've experienced it where you're able to communicate. And I think that's like a really key word with somebody and really show them that like the only thing that's stopping them or holding them back is what's going on like in their head. Is that something that you notice on a regular basis? Like how did you get to that place where you could coach almost yourself through that? Because it seems like you've gotten to that kind of sweet spot where, yes, you have a coach, but then also like you're your biggest advocate.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that when I'm the athlete and when I'm the coach, I definitely take on different mindsets because as a coach, I have a very specific role in, I would say my role as a coach is giving information to people that is a value. That would be the best way to describe my job as a coach. And it becomes a very different job with each individual as we all have very different needs based on we've come from different places and we have different levels of experience. We've had a different day. So I would say the very first thing I do is when people walk through the door, I'm just getting a feel. I'm just getting a feeling for what kind of day they've had. And I already have a general idea of who each individual is. But based on the energy they give me, I know that that's going to have an influence on what I give them in return so that we can make it as successful of an hour as possible. And I definitely, all of the things that I communicate, I definitely believe those to be true for myself as well. But sometimes it's necessary for me to take off my own coaching hat and just listen to what someone else has to say. Because if I'm always communicating things that I already understand and believe, I might not necessarily be learning. Whereas if I can just listen to what someone else has to say, and maybe they have some information for me that is of very, very high value, or maybe it's information that I haven't necessarily heard or at least understood in that way, then I would try to be the student in that case and try to listen to what that coach has to say to me.
Yeah. Where did that ability come from to be able to recognize when it's time to listen? Because that's really powerful.
That's a good question because I think all going through school, I don't know that I did much listening. I think I did more talking and I think the teachers would remember me from many years back. I'm trying to think, I guess it really would have become present in both working in tree care with communication being a really high priority just from like a safety perspective and also definitely through personal training and just like to touch on communication. What I've really learned and I definitely apply on a daily basis is it really doesn't matter what you say to someone. It matters how that person understands you. So the sooner that you can get to know whoever it is that you're communicating with, at the end of the day, we really have to set our ego aside and not present ourselves in a way that we like to see ourselves, but more so present ourselves in a way that will truly help someone and that person is able to understand what you're saying. And I would say that that's something that I've definitely seen in myself develop over the years. And that's, I would probably describe that as, in my opinion, my number one strength as a coach and a communicator is being able to understand the individual that I'm working with and being able to provide that information that is able to help them. And it really doesn't matter what it is that you tell that person, as long as it helps them move forward in one way or another.
Absolutely. When it comes to ego, I love that you brought that word up, because so I'm in my mid 30s, and ego is something that I got introduced to, a few years backish, when I started really diving into the personal development world, especially into more of the spiritual communities, and you could start to hear it talked about more. And I think Eckhart Tolle talks about it quite a bit. And it's interesting to me to hear the younger generation talking about it, because it seems like it's a part now of your almost everyday philosophy of how to live life. You're recognizing it, you're taking note of it. Is this something that, how did you get introduced to that first, that philosophy of having an ego?
Well, I definitely would recognize that as human beings, we all have ego, and mm-hmm. The ego is always there. And even the most humble person still has an ego, and it's almost like the ego is its own identity. Yeah. And based on listening to the ego, it can influence you to make certain decisions. And then just looking back at those decisions, was it our best possible outcome? Did it allow me to make the best choice for me in terms of, did it allow me to get closer to my goal, or did it push me further away from my goal? And I definitely would say that I developed an ego, or recognized what an ego was, through weightlifting.
Okay.
So through all the biggest lessons and the biggest strengths that I've developed, I've also had my challenges of understanding what is an ego and how to communicate with that ego accordingly, so that I can ultimately move forward and I can help others move forward as well.
Okay. Do you find that within the community that you're surrounded with, that you're seeing kind of on a regular basis, is there an awareness of this, or is this something that you believe we actually more so journey through, that it's not something that maybe we're aware of all the time, but it's something that we become aware of the closer we get to living that authentic life, that life that really represents your heart and your character?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that ego, and you're asking in regards to ego, Cassie?
Yeah, in regards to ego,
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood correctly. I think that everyone is going to experience that at different times of their life, and especially with different events in their life. And I think that when we receive a lot of positive reinforcement and we realize hey, I'm pretty awesome, I think that that ego has the ability to creep itself in and make itself a little bit more present. And we need to be careful that, yes, we do accept compliments and we do feed off of that positive energy, but we can't let that positive energy also create maybe a negative energy that's actually in disguise. And we need to remember to keep our feet on the ground. We need to know that we need to stay humble and be kind and all those really important things that we should do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm touching on that is because I've been a victim of listening to my ego. Being in the sport of weightlifting, it's definitely a very ego-driven sport. You're lifting against a bunch of other strong men, and it comes down to who can put the most weight overhead. So it is a very ego-driven sport. But I think the people that make it the furthest in the sport are not ego driven as their default. They do have an ego, but they listen to what's truly important for them to move forward and have the most success possible. I think that when ego is on your forefront, you won't make it as far as what you could. You won't have as much success. That's my thought.
I love it. One of the things that I wanted to touch on and just say, like, thank you so much for like your vulnerability and sharing, because as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of women who do listen to this podcast, and some of them I know personally, some of them I don't know, or I know like virtually, and they send me messages and that kind of stuff. And I really appreciate all of that. So one reason I wanted to bring you on the podcast was, you know, I wanted to talk about this like mindset and how cool it is to see somebody who's had a completely different like journey, like completely different, and recognize that within that there's this like thread of connection, which is super cool. The other reason was I had never been to a gym before to do any sort of like working out in regards to what we do at CrossFit Coburg. I was terrified to go to the gym because I did not like the feeling that I got when I had entered other gyms. And that's not to discredit any gym at all, so ever. It was my own personal experience that I was projecting. And I didn't feel safe. Like, I just was like, this, it feels absolutely terrible. What was super cool, and I think this is why I think what you're creating, what you and Scott are creating, is like working so well, is because it's like there is definitely this energy of safety and of being able to be yourself. And because you're so aware and like sensitive to people's nature and their emotions, and you're actually taking that into account when people walk into the space, like there is the ability for someone like me who is like trepidous, who I do have some fears about like this type of an environment, to totally relax and actually just get to enjoy the experience of strengthening the body. And that's really, really neat. I think for so many like women, it's hard to have these conversations sometimes with men. And that's not a diss on men. That's not, I adore what you guys stand for and what you guys represent. It's just, I think it's so healing for us as women to be able to talk to another man without just like worry or fear that they're going to take it the wrong way, or that there's going to be this like weirdness, where there can be this genuine dialogue and curiosity about what it means to be alive, about what it means to connect with another soul, about what it means to encourage another human being, just for the sheer sake that you can. Not because you're going to get anything out of it, but literally because you can. So I feel like what you're creating within the gym, but then also in your life, is healing a lot of misconceptions that have been brought about like working out with somebody of the opposite sex, and all of the crazy like different layers that can like bring to the table. So I think one of the reasons I say that is just to say like, thank you, like, awesome. And like, also like for any, women listening around who have experienced like trauma in their life, like this, like, I want you to listen to Bud. I want you to hear his heart and his character. And like recognize that, you know, like there, as much healing has happened for like generations of women, there's also a lot of men that are healing, and they're sharing that part of their life. If I could ask Bud, like, what is something that you've noticed has healed deeply within you that you recognize now, or that has been brought to your attention, or just something that like you're like, this healed in me, and this is like a really big wound?
Yeah, that's, I definitely try to answer that to the best of my ability. And I know exactly what you're referring to when you talk about the gym and how a female and a male communicate, and how we do seem to live in this world where we almost have like these expectations. I don't know if they're expectations that we actually place on ourselves, or it's just like this imaginary thing that isn't actually there. But I do think that females and males are very different, but I also think they're a lot more similar in certain ways that probably a lot of people don't actually realize. Yeah. And I know for me, as a male, I'm definitely a very, very sensitive guy. And I probably find one of the most empowering things that I could do on a daily basis is communicate how I'm feeling about something and then be heard. So that's something that I've definitely, that's new to me in the last year of my life. As Cassie knows, my fiance and I, Marsha, have recently gotten engaged, and Marsha is the first female that I've ever been in a relationship with where I feel that I can speak my 100% feelings, and I can essentially communicate about any conversation at any point. And as a male, that's very empowering, especially I think that I have lived a life where there's this certain expectation as a male, and especially being a strong athlete, that we don't necessarily share our feelings. But I would say that that might even be more empowering to me, being able to communicate excitement, sadness, anger, any emotion that you could possibly experience. I think we should be able to share our thoughts and our feelings, and I think that it should be reciprocated by the people in our lives that we hold close to us, our friends and our family. And I think that whenever those feelings are not responded to in a positive way, I don't know if this is fair of me to say or not, but it's almost unfair. It's not nice to be able to communicate and maybe be put down in a negative way. And maybe that individual that is communicating that way, maybe they've got their own personal struggles, and maybe that's their way of communicating back. Yeah. It's just a whole mumble jumble of back and forth, but that would probably be what I would say the number one thing as a male, being able to communicate your thoughts and feelings and not having to think twice is truly an incredible feeling.
That's amazing. Oh, I love that so much, because I just feel like there's this like this thing that has happened to men is like they have to like second guess themselves when they are sharing their heart. And sometimes like maybe the words are coming out and they're not maybe they don't make any sense, but they equally have to have the right and the freedom and the space to be able to just get the emotions out, the feelings out, and then like to start the dialogue and to have the questions asked, and to like everybody on the planet wants to be heard. And this is the thing, like, yes, like it's this like desire to be like to be listened to be felt, to be understood. And I love so much that you like share like that you equally crave this. Like this is important to you. This is absolutely a part of like what you believe. So I absolutely love that.
If we could come up with an example that would actually put in a little bit of humor about males being able to communicate exactly their thoughts and feelings and how it just makes life so much easier and so much more enjoyable. This is the example that I would say. If a male was speaking in a way that was safe, but it wasn't truly articulating their thoughts, maybe that would be comparable to when you are going through the drive-through with your family and your niece would like the kids' meal. So when you speak into the speaker, you actually order them a number three, but they didn't want a number three. They wanted a kids' meal. And then when you get to the window, they hand you exactly what you asked for because that's the thought that was communicated. And then when you give your niece their meal and it's not what they asked for, then there's this feeling of frustration and confusion and a miscommunication. So what I really would like to drive home here is that if we're having these thoughts and feelings, it just makes life so easy when we say exactly what it is that we're feeling and that we want. And it just creates this much more efficient system to achieve what it is that we would like so much more quickly and with less effort. So the McDonald's drive-thru, that's the way to describe communication, Cassie.
No, I love it. It makes a lot of sense. And it just, I don't know, it's just this thing of like allowing people to be vulnerable, but you have to choose who you're vulnerable with. Like you're, you know, like giving us the example, like you know, I'm in a committed relationship right now. I'm engaged. You know, I found a woman that I can communicate with. And it's so important for like women to hear that that's important to you. Like that matters to you. Like you really enjoy being in a relationship where you are equally heard the same way that your partner is equally heard. Because there's so many misconceptions out there when it comes to like men in general. And it's like a personal pet peeve of mine. I've actually done like a hashtag test where if you go and you would like start hashtagging in your Instagram story or in an Instagram like account, and you know how it populates a popular hashtag.
Right.
So if you do that with women and you go, women are, you'll get women are beautiful, women are powerful, women are important, you know, and that kind of stuff. If you were to hashtag men are, it's terrible. Men are idiots. Men are scum of the earth. Men are this, men are that. And there isn't one positive remark for a while. You got to scroll before you start to hear men are beautiful. Men are important. Men have the right to be heard. Like, it's just like, so this is another reason why, you know, I wanted to have a male voice, like, and have more male voices on my podcast in particular, is because I have a son. I see him. He is incredible. The way he sees the world and articulates his experiences, the way that he chooses to like be his own person instead of participating in things on the schoolyard that he doesn't agree with, it floors me. The way he talks about his emotions, the way, like the other day he was at the desk and he was doing his homework and he was having like a hard time and he didn't want me to like do his homework for him. He literally said the words, "Mom, can you just come over here and comfort me while I do this work?" And I almost started bawling because I was like, oh, why do we not expect this from our sons, from our men? Why is this only allowed for women? Well, it's not. It's just the way in which that society has adopted a belief system that is toxic. And then we can do something about it by having these conversations. So I really, really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, Cassie.
You're welcome. Okay, bud, we've got 5 questions that I really want to go through with you. And okay. They're kind of like laser questions, laser fast. So it'll be really good. And I'll end with like one thing at the end too. Okay, so what is your fave snack or food?
My favorite snack or food? Well, if you were to ask my friends, whenever we go out for appetizers, I'd probably pick nachos. But if there's a big event coming up, then I'll try to eat something with a little bit better energy in it so that I can have my best efforts in the gym. But nachos for sure. And I'm definitely adding beef to them as well.
Yeah, that sounds delicious. Okay, what is one emotion you struggle to express?
One emotion that has probably always been a bit more challenging for me would be anger, because the way that people see me is such a cheery, happy guy. And I definitely like that people view me as that person. So it can sometimes feel like I'm not allowed to be angry. Now, I would not have as difficult of a time expressing frustration and anger towards a moment that would create that emotion in me, but maybe leading up to 2 years ago, we'll say, maybe I had a harder time expressing anger.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What is your dream place to travel to next?
Dream place to travel. Well, for me traveling, it really doesn't matter where I go. I just find that who you go with, that just sounds like something you'd read off the internet.
I know.
it for me, I'm trying to think what Marsh and I have talked about the next place that we're going to travel to, but I think probably California. It's always been a thought in the back of my mind, and especially with them talking about it sliding off into the water, I need to get down there before that happens. Let's go with California.
Yeah, you'll love California. I love California. I've been there a few times, and every time I go, I'm always like, I want to live here, and that kind of stuff. I would not, but I really love the vibe and the connection that you get there. Okay, who would you love to have dinner with, dead or alive? And it can be Marsha if you want, but if there was like, you know.
Who would I love to have dinner with? Well, I did have dinner with Cassie and Joel Jeans one time. That was quite enjoyable. I was actually thinking about this the other day, and I wasn't thinking necessarily dinner, but I was thinking that I would like to spend time with them for the day because I love their energy and their outlook on life. Mark Bell, he's a big name in the fitness community, and he grew up as a power lifter, and he's slowly transitioned out of the sport of more like heavy lifts, and now he's doing more like just communicating with the larger volume of people and being able to help them on a day-to-day basis, just with literally anything and everything from the time you wake up to feeling better about putting your clothes on and like making healthier choices of eating food and just life. He actually refers to himself as the life or the people's coach. Aww. He refers to him as the people's coach. So Mark Bell, I would pick dinner with.
Bell. Super cool. Mark Bell. Okay. If anyone has connections who's listening right now, let me know. And then last question, what goal or aspiration are you setting for yourself this year, or have you set for yourself this year?
I'm trying to think. Right now I'm 4 weeks out from my last ever weightlifting meet. I've decided that this weightlifting meet, which will be provincials, is going to be my last one. I'm ready to close that chapter of my life, and I think that it's given me everything that it can, and I'm going to hold on to all of those things that I've learned over the last 5 or 6 years or so. Yeah. So right now, as far as a goal goes, I want to be in the best shape of my life to show up at that weightlifting meet and perform to the best of my ability. After that is behind us, we'll find a new goal.
Amazing. Love it. Love it. So I just want to send you a lot of encouragement, and I really believe in everything that you're doing, and I'm very curious to see how like your life path continues to unfold, because you've just got this ability to resonate with a lot of people, and the way you communicate is super awesome, and it touches people's hearts even if they don't like show you. Like, I've been in the gym with you when you're like on this like thing and you're just speaking from your heart, and like I'm like, yeah, and everyone's like not totally there with you, but I secretly think that they are, like they're just not expressing it. So you're doing some amazing things, and I really hope that you're really proud of yourself, bud, like for real, because you're doing some awesome stuff.
Thank you, Cassie. I really appreciate that, and I think that some very similar things are happening on your end as well.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. All right, everybody. Thank you, Ben. This has been another episode of In the Bedroom with Cassie Jeans, Words That Awaken the Soul. See you guys next week.